Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with my good pal, Dave Damashek. We are recording this on a Wednesday night. We're trying the night thing, Dave.
Are you okay? All right.
You have enough lighting back there? I think you're good.
No, I don't have a lot of lighting, but I got plenty of booze. That's why I paid a visit. If you're looking at me right now, my backdrop is, of course, Don Draper's Tony office, and it comes with the wet bar and everything. So I'm drunk and ready to go.
Good.
Let's do it.
You're all set, and I'm glad you are, because we have a good podcast ahead. We have Joe Johnson. We have a real ex-NBA player, 18-year vet. My God, who the hell plays for 18 years?
He made thousands of dollars.
We should maybe ask him how much of the thousands he still has. But I think you're right. I don't even think you're exaggerating there. 18-year vet, NBA. He's not done yet. He's playing for Team USA. We'll ask him about that. 39 years old. Joe Johnson's going to talk to us about everything NBA. They named the All-Stars and everything. Game is March 7th. Hey, some All-Stars in my house, Dave. Sports are coming back. Sports actually before school is coming back. For my kids, first it was announced that my 15-year-old, Archie, will be putting on the pads next week playing football. They have like a 4-game season.
Wow.
Starting in like 2 weeks. That's crazy. And then my little one has a little league starting Sunday. He has practices for an hour and a half every Sunday. So that's interesting. I got the note and I was like, oh, wow. All right, good. Practice. And they're like, an hour and a half. I'm like, all right, can we have to dive in here? Can it be like 20 minutes? I haven't been anywhere but work. I haven't been anywhere for an hour and a half. We're really going to be 90
minutes.
Your littlest
guy is doing Little League?
He is, yeah.
And he's 7 years six old. Or seven. Seven. I guess. Man, my experience has been with Jean-Claude Van Damashek, at least.
Yes.
Because he started when he was five. And we thought, this is a good time, have it be a part of his lucid years as soon as he's able to stand and run around. Baseball, that's a good sport for him to play. Mm-hmm. It's very serious in Southern California.
Sure.
You've not experienced the parents on down take it very seriously. I don't know why everybody was like, the other five-year-olds were like turning double plays and everything. My kid barely knew what direction to throw a ball in. So best wishes with that. But the football is very exciting. My only concern is, are you going to send him to any football camps? Because that's been in the news a lot, too, how you negotiate with high-end pro football players.
He wants to go to camp. Oh, right. There's that whole thing. Yeah, and the summer camps and everything. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for sports to start up, aside from what's been thrown on our TVs every night. Yeah, but back to the Little League real quick. To demonstrate your point, how serious they are, practices is from 6 to 7:30 on Sunday night, when everything's supposed to be winding down. I guess what the hell does it matter anyway?
My experience again was, as soon as, no matter how many times you tell them, every kid who's that age just wants to get the ball and they fight their teammates to get it. And it's like, that's not the point of the game, guys. The guy, get the ball and throw it back into the air. But it's hard to explain to a very little kid why they're standing in a field for long stretches, just standing there. They don't understand, like, why? What am I doing out here? If you're relegated to the outfield, it's a very difficult thing to explain.
You tell them. You say you're out here so that in a few weeks you get a trophy that you will then go and lose. That's the point of this whole thing, right?
Something like that, yeah. I think so.
Let's address the Tiger Woods accident. That also happened very close to my house, about 15 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Tiger, thank God he's okay. Nothing life-threatening. Sheriff also says no evidence of impairment in a video conference with reporters today on Wednesday. We wish him well, of course. I don't know how you feel. I think, he's come back. We all saw the documentary. It's crazy that he came back from the back surgery. It seems, I don't want to put odds on it, but boy, it seems like a real long shot that anyone will see him play competitive golf again. And that's all that anyone really seems to care about, sadly, with what goes on here. Do you agree?
I don't have a problem with that. I will tell you, it's a little exhausting. There are so many occasions these days for everybody to bum rush the peak of Mount Pius to weigh in on something. And there were a lot of scoldings going on. How dare you ask someone on the scene if Tiger's ever going to play golf again? That's our relationship with him. I don't think that's out of bounds to ask that about the main thing that we know about a person is he going to keep doing that thing we know about with him? I don't think that's out of bounds. Yeah, I mean, what do I know?
Watching his car accidents isn't going to be fun, right? Yeah, we want him to play golf. That's kind of the thing that yeah. No, I get it. I have a bunch of friends who are, their big thing is, why doesn't he have a driver? Why doesn't he always have a driver? Why don't rich guys have a driver? And these are rich people who are telling me this. Why doesn't he have a driver who also don't have a driver? So I don't know. I suspect I know the reason. I mean, how many times have you Ubered to the airport and you're on a phone taking a conversation that you don't want the driver to hear? And I don't feel like I have as much to hide as Tiger Woods does. I honestly think that has a lot to do with it. How many people?
Really?
Yeah, sure.
So I guess he could
pay the same one person to follow him all around the country and just drive him. I guess that would be the idea. But short of that, I don't know. You don't want your private stuff coming out, do you?
In the age of posses and handlers and everything right. else, now that you point that out, it just never struck me that, right, you almost never see a professional athlete by himself. You almost mm-hmm. always see him with one to five other people on his coattails at any given right. time. Yeah, it hadn't occurred to me.
Well, yeah, maybe there's a caddy slash driver. I don't know how they would do it, but yeah, it's ironic. We keep saying driver, driver, driver. But anyway, I don't know. That was that's me sticking up for Tiger.
Are you? I hope this isn't considered. I hope we don't have to hear from residents of Mount Pius. It's not intended to be off color or whatever. But are you surprised? Well, see, now you think it's going to be much worse than it is.
I don't
it's
like
not
it
that
already.
Bad.
Yeah.
I was again surprised by the depth of the coverage. It was that. All the news for the entire day. I always have a hard time.
There's nothing going on, Dave. What else is going on?
True. I
nothing.
Mean, but for real, like, what I just am struck by. A year ago, sadly, I remember talking to you among many other people and being struck by, wow, Kobe Bryant meant more to professional athletes than anybody that I can recall. His peers were devastated in a way that I hadn't seen collectively them be as ruined mm-hmm. by a tragedy as that one was. This one, that just national news, like everything just stops, you know. I mean, he's in surgery and everything, but it's not life-threatening or anything. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I just was surprised by it, I guess.
First of all, shame on you, and good luck to whatever you do after this, because you know, I'm going to be forced to let you go now, Dave. I don't know, that is a controversial opinion. But no, I think there are like...
If I would have said that yesterday, people would have said, how dare you? I think we're now far enough removed from it.
You know, we might be, but Jim Cunningham, Hill producer, maybe we hold this podcast for a couple of days just to make sure more time passes. I think Tiger is one of like seven or eight athletes that this could happen to and does get the full coverage. A, B, the fact that it happened in such spectacular, I use that as a negative term, fashion. And it was a little touch and go for a minute. They thought it might be life-threatening. And C or three, I forgot if I did numbers or letters, the documentary had just come out a couple months ago.
I guess that's true.
This is fresh in everyone's head.
But boy, he is, I know this is maybe sounds absurd, but I didn't realize that he was that treasured as he mm-hmm. was, because the outpouring, there was, you know, you always see some jerk on social media who says, well, this guy, blah, but there was very little of that, really very little of that. And it was all just like, I am devastated, and prayers yeah. and everything else, which is the nice and right thing to say, but it was overwhelming. And the duration of the coverage, I mean, it went for, you know, 6 hours or something like
that.
Oh,
our agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, crushed. I couldn't even joke with him about it on text. Just crushed.
My old man is devastated by this news.
And it's not because he's such a great guy and all this humanitarian stuff, right? It's a selfish thing, right? They're never going to see him golf again is what they're worried about. Correct?
Right. Well, listen, I mean, when the next time people start talking to you about like, what do you care? Why is it important to have a Michael Jordan versus LeBron James? Who's better and all that? It's because that's our place in history. And so that's who we stand right. up for is our era's guy and everything. And I think people feel maybe rightly like, oh man, we wanted to see the next few years of Tiger chasing Nicklaus and see if he could make that happen. And I feel yeah. like that's been taken from them.
We, one more thing in defense of Tiger, that is a weird road right there, that Hawthorne Boulevard, right where he is. And by the way, at night, that's extra treacherous. So I don't know if he's all, you know, I believe the sheriff when saying no evidence of impairment, although I think they're talking about alcohol there. If there's something else, maybe that's the case. But that's a rough road to navigate, even in good times, in a clear head. So I'll give him credit there. I don't know. Maybe the driver is the thing. Our buddy Carson Daly had a driver very early on, and he had that MTV money coming in, not just the money, like a little stuff. You know, he had to go out and meet people and have fun. What a fun life that was! And then he would have a driver every time.
He really did. People would be shocked. He really should write a tell-all autobiography because what little I've heard from him directly, it sounds like he had a top three life.
Yeah,
over the last quarter century.
Right? It doesn't matter. New York, L.A. You're not going to want to. He can't bounce around subways at the height of TRL. But either way, having that driver right out there ready for you to go is not a bad way to live. And I don't think he paid him a ton of money either. All right, Joel Solomon, you say you have a funny story about this. Can we air it, or you just want to tell it?
It's not about Carson specifically, but when I worked at TRL, this is true. All the VJs had commuter cars, mm-hmm. and they had an account, and you just called and because, you know, they were out at events and movies mm-hmm. and parties, and, you know, obviously didn't want them drinking and driving. And it's also New York mm-hmm. where no one had a car. So one time Jesse Camp called his commuter car. He got in the commuter car and he said, "Where to?" And he said, "Canada, man." And if you know Jesse Camp, that's what he does. The commuter car drives Jesse Camp all the way to Canada. He doesn't have a passport and just drove back.
Oh, no.
And what really ended the commuter car, there was one VJ that was...
That didn't end it? That didn't end it.
No, that actually didn't end it. There was one VJ, might have been a little high profile, and was dating an athlete at the time. Mm-hmm. The commuter car waited outside this arena or this stadium for the entire length of a game. This happened a few times, and there were some significant charges, and shut the whole MTV VJ commuter car thing down.
Wow. Yeah. And so what did Kennedy do after that? How did she meet up with you?
A little bit past the Kennedy era.
Oh, I see.
That was a good callback, my friend.
All right. There you go. All right.
Wasn't Serena Altschul either.
Thought you said you had a funny story. It says right there, I have a funny story about this. Okay. No. No, good job by you, babyface. All right.
Joel's just looking for his happiness. The sky is falling, Sal, on the banks of the Three Rivers. I mean, talk about a civil war. People are very upset about what's happening. You cannot land on a positive side with Roethlisberger and the Steelers.
Well, listen, no matter what you say, I was going to go into this, but it seems like you did an hour and a half on it on -3 if people want to catch it. So you got it out of your system. Good.
I did. We don't have to talk about it here. In fact, I appreciate that. Mark Caboli from The Athletic, who is legitimately plugged in to all things Steelers, as opposed to most of the people out there nationally and otherwise you hear speculating. He really understands the cap and what their philosophy is for this year and beyond. It was a great conversation. I encourage you to check it out. But chin up, Joel.
I think we're on the same side of this Big Ben thing. Let me just say this. Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen. You know who those are? Those five quarterbacks are? What they did, what they represent? Quarterbacks with 12 or more wins and 30 or more passing touchdowns. I don't think the guy's done. I think, obviously, you need him to play like he did the last two games versus that chunk in the middle there, 3 through 11 or whatever it was, you know, when he was in there.
It's 10 through 16. It's 10 through 15 that people are looking. Game
That's
weeks,
what it was.
10 through 15. That was the bad stretch.
10 through 15. But obviously, we don't know what's going on. If it was his call to not take hits, if it was his call to not play action, it certainly wasn't his call that the running game sucked as bad as it did, or the offensive line wasn't doing their job. I don't think they have a better option. Of course, they're going to be people say, get Deshaun Watson. That's not happening. Keep Big Ben
people,
in there.
People, here's my hot take, but I don't really have the exact math on why it's so. For some reason, society, the media, whatever, some guys do not get tortured for 15 years for mm-hmm. misdeeds. And I'm not defending anything, but some people just have a real bad feeling about that guy. And they want to bring about the end there, but other people, they don't say the same. People who've done, you get what I'm getting at. But yeah. It's very strange to me that of all the human beings in professional sports, that's the guy who's in so many crosshairs. But okay.
Well, to me, all right, whatever. You like them or you don't. But don't use this as an argument. Like, they could save $19 million or they get hit with $19 million. Like, who cares about that anymore? Carson Wentz is putting up a zero on Philadelphia. That's and they're eating $33 million. It's a different world we live in now. Are you going to do better than you would without Big Ben? I think that's the threshold.
No, just reboot. They got to restructure. Right. You don't get Let's it. They reboot. Just should release him and they should rebuild. Rebuild to what? There's nobody out there to go and get right now and reasonably. Rebuild, they can't not, get Deshaun Watson. Yes. So stop saying right. that Mason, was the answer.
Mason Rudolph is not rebuilding. We saw that already. That was already, he was kicked out. Who's the guy in Back to the Future? Stoltz, right? They said, thanks for your time. Goodbye. You're not our guy.
We need a whole season to see if Mason Rudolph in year four of his career, we're going to burn the primes of Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, and Cam Hayward that year to see about third round draft pick Mason Rudolph. What they should do with themselves? It's loco.
I want to do because I mentioned Carson Wentz, but he's not getting that number 11. Now, are you a person who cares about what kind of number a player wears, or are you just like whatever? Just
as
whatever
it happens, I do have opinions on these things. Okay. I love that Carson Wentz played against a guy named Carson Palmer once.
Yes.
2 out of 32 human beings who are starting quarterbacks were named Carson. And on top of that, 4 minutes ago, you mentioned Carson Daly.
Oh, wow. So, you're right.
Think about all that.
Wow, I can't really come up with another one. Yeah, wow, that was...
And you and I, with the aforementioned Baby Doll Dixon, on what appeared to be his deathbed, but then he healed very quickly, stopped once in Carson City, Nevada, on our way to Lake Tahoe for something.
Wow, this is very Johnny Carson-esque. It's all with the coming callback, together, you see? I believe, yeah.
And there was a hockey game in Lake Tahoe. You see how it's all interconnected, Sal?
All right. Anyway, with the Carson, and the Dr. Ben Carson, of course, we have to fit him in there somehow. Great. But Michael Pittman, number 11 for the Colts, says, hey, what do you want to do about this? And Carson Wentz texted him about 2 hours later and said how he felt and told him he was going to, Michael Pittman said he was going to stay, and that was cool. And they would switch numbers, and that was easy. He was a chill guy about it. So that was awesome. So he's not giving the number 11 to Wentz. I maintain, I don't know. First of all, have you had great success with the number 11? I think there's 4 to 5 Januaries you haven't survived, which is interesting for a guy who was drafted out of North Dakota State. But whether it's injury or benching or injury during the playoff game, he hasn't survived many Januaries. So maybe change the number. I'm going to go to you, Dave. What number, if you're Carson Wentz on the Colts, do you go after?
Well, listen, isn't the whole point of the game to score 6 points? And 6 doesn't have much of a history for starting quarterbacks. It's not draped in glory in terms of Super Bowl success for a quarterback. So, I mean, own that number. Make it your own, Carson Wentz. I will say, and there are bigger issues to worry about in the world, I feel like it's kind of a bad look right out of the gate, isn't it? That Michael Pittman's like, nope. Like, you're... He's a sophomore kid himself now. He's like, nah, I'm not giving that up. Like, what? doesn't like Frank Reich or Chris Ballard or Ursay or somebody go like, hey, for the good of the organization, it's a bad look that you won't give our new quarterback the number that he wants. Just give it to him, would you please?
Who cares? You got to tell your grandkids about this. Your granddaughter smack you in the face. You say
you'd be willing to sell it.
Oh yeah. Oh, take the money.
You're too easy. I've at least established here, and I'll refer anybody when I make it to the pro ranks. It's gonna have to pay a pretty penny to get the number off my back. You've made it easy already. I don't care, so they're not gonna offer.
Although the greatest thing is to. Although I guess this is a guy who's throwing to you, so you don't want to make too much trouble. But
that's a good point too.
Take an insane offer and turn it down. How funny would that be? I'm going to give you $100,000. Really? All right. Before we get to Joe Johnson, I see he's waiting, but I have something very important to say. For those of you who like to add a little excitement to your sports watching experience, I know you're out there. Here's how you could do it. You bet all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same game parlays. And right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's enough. Just place a bet on any game and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. Seriously, no strings attached. Any bet you want, you win, you keep the cash, you lose, you get your entire bet back up to $1,000 in site credit. Use same game parlays for any of the games. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, shame on you. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code EXTRAPOINTS so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code EXTRAPOINTS. All right, this is a treat. Our guest today, 18-year NBA vet, 7-time NBA All-Star. He also won a Big 3 championship and an MVP. ISO Joe. Joe Johnson's here. What's happening, fella?
What's up? What's up, man? Glad to be here. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Joe, you are 39, and you could still play. You still are actually playing. You're playing for Team USA. You just played the FIBA AmeriCup, right? 2 wins. Yeah. I think you had 11 points against the Bahamas and nearly a triple-double against Mexico. I think you're an Olympian at this point, aren't you?
Somebody's got to do it, okay? Oh, somebody.
Are you looking? First of all, before we get into the future here, Joe, how do you self-identify? You played for 2/3 of the league. So who do, are you a Hawks guy, a Nets guy? Do you have a rooting interest properly? Are you happy to see the Hawks get over on the Celtics, for instance?
Hey, whatever you guys feel, whatever your preference is, you know, some people remember a lot about the Hawks. Some people remember the Nets, even a little stint with Miami, Utah. You know, it just depends on how you want to go.
We have to decide right now, though. That's the thing. You can't leave it up to the public.
Oh, we can't leave it up to the public. I don't know, man.
You're good.
Well, you're going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. They don't do the thing like baseball with the cap. You don't have to choose a team like that you're going in as a Hawk or otherwise, right?
Well,
let the red hat speak for itself. We'll say you're a Hawks guy since you're wearing a red toque.
All right, okay. I'll roll with it.
Joe, how is it traveling for this FIBA AmeriCup? Is it fun? How is it different from traveling, you know, for the NBA?
Well, it's a lot different because, you know, we had to be quarantined in our room for like 2 days, 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had little groups that we could work out in, and then we practiced as a team. So, you know, we had to beat on the 10th, and we didn't play until the 19th and the 20th. So, mm-hmm. You know, though we spent a lot of time quarantining and practicing. Like, we did a little mini training camp, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. I got a chance to meet a lot of great guys, man. Guys coming out of college, guys who've been out of college a couple of years and trying to figure it out. So I was just trying to lend a helping hand, you know, teaching the little things that I know that I picked up along the way.
You're doing more than that. You're the star of these games, I see. You and Isaiah Thomas, right? They'd be lost without you.
Man, you know what? It was fun, man. We just tried to get those young guys a sense of direction because at that age, you know, you just want to get out there and just hoop, you know. But at the same time, you know, I'm glad that guys like myself and IT did play because we were able to slow the game down a little bit, control the game, control the pace, and ultimately get 2 wins. That's what we're there for.
Nice. What do you think 18 years in the league, and it changed a great deal over that span, and you can point at Steph Curry and the Warriors for changing philosophically kind of the way the whole league looks. Where would Joe Johnson thrive? In late 20th century ball or Steph Curry, you know, perimeter style game that we're seeing so much where there aren't any true centers or very many at least?
This new style game because – this new style game, it puts me like at the four. Like, you know, it's not
right.
It's not going to be me. It may be one, maybe two guys out there that's going to be bigger than me.
Well, listen, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. He's 43. What are you doing? You got 4 years on him. Go join the Nets. Tell him you want to be on. Go do that. That's a good call. They could use you.
Hey, I ain't disrespecting Tom Brady's greatness. That's greatness, man. You out there. What is he? 42, 43?
Yep. 43, yep.
Doing it the way he's doing it. Hey, that's impressive. I don't care how you cut it.
Joe, is that the team you join right now? If you had a choice, if you could sign a contract for the rest of the year, would you go to the Nets? Would you like to go to the Lakers? What if they said to go to the world, your oyster, you jump in wherever you want.
Hey, I like that question. Hey, I'm interested. Excuse me. I'm interested in whoever's interested in me.
All right. Do you like, what about the All-Star game? I like what they do with the captains. Anytime you could change the game around but not screw up the record books, I'm all for it. And this captain thing where you got Durant and you got LeBron picking teams. Now, would you say they're going to be hard feelings if someone gets passed over in the first round? I mean, I don't see it much difference. Probably a lot worse than playground when you get passed over by, you're like the last one picked. Would you hold a grudge or is it all in fun?
No, I think it's all in fun. You got to understand it's very prestigious to be an All-Star and ultimately play the captains pick you. I mean, hell, as long as you get picked, everybody, you know what I mean?
That's true.
So I think that's an ultimate, credit to those guys, man, who became All-Stars this year. Due to COVID, I mean, it's made basketball a lot tougher than what people really expect.
I'm actually surprised they're playing. I mean, LeBron came out a couple of months ago and said, this is not going to be an All-Star game. This is crazy schedule we have. And I don't think anybody would have faulted him from stepping aside or any of these players for the couple of weeks. But I'm also glad they're doing it because it's such a – by the way, so Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Zion, first-time All-Stars, and Julius Randle. But probably the biggest Knicks moment since Linsanity, Julius Randle, 23-11-6 make it. What are your thoughts about those guys?
He's well deserving of it. I'm happy for Julius Randle. I'm happy for the Knicks, and hopefully they give us some excitement this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the Nets, though? Let's go back to them because the big deal to get Harden down there, obviously following up on the way Durant's looked when he's been in there and Kyrie and everything. A lot of people, I think the majority of people said when that deal happened for Harden, man, there's not enough basketballs to go around for all of them. But to your point about the difference in the game now, I think they're kind of perfectly built for the 2021 kind of era that we're living in right now, right?
They perfectly built to be in the finals. That's what they perfectly built. that's what they perfectly built for. I think now it's really going to be about who they're going to play. You know, if the Lakers are going to be healthy enough to be there, or you know, who's going to step up and, you know, take that challenge. I mean, I don't see a lot of teams – you know, maybe one that can mess with the Nets or get them problems in the East, and that's probably Philly, to be honest with you. Because Joel, he's so dominant that I don't care who you put on him. He's a walking 30, 40 points, you know. So, let's see.
You were friendly. I don't know if you were friendly with, but you played with Steve Nash, right? That was one of your stops for sure. Wow. What he walked into something great here. Do you ever contact him and you want to touch him for just to see if the gold wears off? I mean, Durant, you're right. Kyrie. And it's amazing what's going on with this team, how they get everyone together. Harden.
Man, if y'all think that job is easy, y'all tripping, man. That is not no easy job.
Because why? The egos of it?
We're talking egos, talent, distributing minutes. Like, that's tough, man. Like, you got to understand, as a coach, you're never going to have every guy on the team cool with you or happy with the decisions you're making. That's just part of it. And you have to be able to roll with those punches. And right now, he's dealing with something that's tough. I mean, but even though they're playing great basketball, you still really don't know how they're going to play when Durant comes back. You know, I mean, Kyrie's ultra-aggressive. You know, James is kind of controlling everything, and, you know, we'll see.
Well, so that's the crazy thing, right? I think what idiots like me and Dave, we don't understand. Like, why wouldn't they be just as good when Durant comes back? Or why are they better now with him out, you know, than they were before he went out? Could you explain why that is? Is it just chemistry and just deciding, you know, who gets what, how many possessions and shots and stuff like that?
Definitely. It's definitely chemistry. It's that cohesiveness that, you know, you need as a unit. You know, when he first got there, he was trying to figure that out. He probably didn't know who was going to bring the ball up, him or Kyrie. But now that all that's kind of worked out and he knows he's the point guard and who's making all the decisions, you know, things are kind of flowing great. So they're playing great basketball. They still have top 10, top 15 guys, top 10 guys on the team that's playing right now. So, just because they don't have Kevin Durant and they're still winning, I still think that, they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
When the Nets come up, I feel obliged to mention, Kevin Durant is weirdly not rated as one of the 6 to 10 best players in the history of the league. And I feel like people are ignoring not ignoring, but they're sleeping a little bit on the quality of his career. Agree or no? I mean, that's a big thing to say, top 10 player. But I think legitimately, you start putting them out there. I haven't seen very many scores like that.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know who you've been arguing with.
A lot of people will tell you, like, oh, he was chasing rings. Oh, he went up. They couldn't win on his own. So he had to go do what he did in Golden State. And it's all that kind of stuff.
Hey, man, he took a different route, but he didn't go to a coattail of nobody.
Well, I agree.
Do you think this walking stick has put a little magic in Kyrie's step and for the team? He's now got a walking stick.
What walking stick? What you talk about?
Oh, there's pictures of him with a walking stick in the tunnel and everything. He doesn't actually bring it onto the court, but he has. You guys haven't seen it?
That's a walking stick.
This is the secret to their success, I'm telling you.
The walking stick.
We all need to get a walking stick. It's the only way to survive this pandemic, I think. One more question, Joe. I want to send you on your way. This is the extra point right here, the question. Not a question. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I'm going to get your Venmo information. I'm going to give you $25, and I want you to go to a place called Magic City and try the lemon pepper wings. Will you do that for me?
Hey, first off, I don't have a Venmo account, so you keep your $25, okay?
Okay.
Stay right here in the house. I'm cool on the wings. You know what I mean? I ain't really. So it makes no sense for me to go to no Magic City to get wings. You know what I'm
saying? All right. Well, they seem to be good. You know what? We'll send them to your house. That's all. We'll have some.
Hey, one last thing, Joe. Did you see the video of the kid talking to Cam Newton at the camp the other day?
No, I heard about it. I honestly have not even seen it. I haven't, but I had somebody who was telling me about it the other day, but I had not seen it.
Anything like that ever happened to you?
I haven't seen it. I can't even tell you what happened.
Dave, he hasn't seen it.
Kid just started talking stuff at Cam Newton. You're a free agent. You're not that good. That kind of line.
No, I never had that. But you do have kids, man, who get out of line from time to time, asking crazy questions or questions that they may even know the answer to. But, I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it, man, so I couldn't even tell y'all what he said, but. No, I don't know.
Well, thanks for joining us, Joe. When's the next game with this this Team USA?
As it's over with. It was two games. It was two games. Even though we were there for like 10 days, we only played two games. But it was fun. I enjoyed it.
And you could still play. So you're going to I think you're on the Olympic team. Don't be surprised if you get a call. I don't know who makes those calls.
You know they got a 3-on-3 Olympic team.
That's right. That's right. You're going to be part of that.
We'll see what happens, man.
I love it. You have anything else to plug, Joe? I appreciate you coming on.
Nah, I appreciate you guys for having me.
There you go. ISO Joe Johnson. Check him out. 30, my God, 18 years in the league. Thanks for joining us, pal.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, man.
Good times. What do you think, Sal, about the Olympic? To me, I didn't want to say this to Joe. But since he's in on that, but I don't know if you and I have ever struck this conversation up. I think in 1992, the Dream Team was great. It was very exciting coming off of 1988, the Seoul Games. Mm-hmm. The U.S. gets upset and it was a stunner and everything else. So they said, all right, just once we're going to teach the rest of the world a lesson. We're going to send our actual good guys.
That's what it was. Yep.
And they annihilated the world. At that point, they should have said, now don't ever mess with us again, or you're gonna get it times three.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, well, now we just do it all the time. I was like, that's not gonna work out, guys. Somebody's gonna beat you at some point. And so it happened. And now that mystique is gone forever.
Well,
right? They should just never have done it. Should have all been collegians forever and just said, like, well, these are our JV guys, and they beat you most of the time.
I agree with you. And I mean, that could transfer to wars. Maybe after WW2, it's like, don't ever screw with us again. Japan, Germany.
Right.
Axis powers. But there we go. We go to Vietnam and things have to get.
That's right. You know what else we should do, too? This upsets an international audience, but good.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not really a good argument against it. If you said, hey, for the next 3 years, LeBron James and Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley and whoever else, we're going to just play soccer. And guess what?
Oh.
By the time we play the next World Cup, we're going to beat everybody in the world.
Oh, I don't know about
right?
that.
Nah, yeah, of course they are. What are you think Mike Trout and I don't even know who Mike the Trout. Team is. What? Kyrie Irving. I'm just those guys would be able to get good at soccer enough.
Kyrie Irving needs a stick to walk. How is that going to happen?
So you reject my premise.
I don't know. I'm not a huge soccer guy, but my God, those guys run around. I guess, first of all, I don't think the baseball players are in shape enough. That's a whole different world there. Running miles and miles and miles.
I just wanted to be inclusive. I wanted to be inclusive and put everybody in there. All right, we don't have to have baseball.
Oh, man. I don't know. What do you guys? You guys weigh in. You know what? Hit us up at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com if you want to scream at Dave about his idea that we take our best athletes and make a super soccer team out of them and compete in the next World Cup. I have a feeling people
then no one would
with
like
that.
Me. The rest of the world would be outraged at the idea that America is so arrogant that that we think we can do that. And then they'd be like, whose idea was this? And then when they found out it was my idea, all of America would be mad at me for taking away our best players. Have them doing this cockamamie soccer when they should be entertaining us with basketball and otherwise.
Right. See, you're going to screw up a bunch of different sports by just creating one superpower. Hey, the Lemon Pepper Parlay, guys. So that's Rob Parker and Martin Weiss. And the Betting Academy, that's Kendrick Perkins and Gina Paradiso. They do a great job breaking down the All-Star game and the snubs. The game, like I said, we brought it up with Joe. It's March 7th. The draft is March 4th. It's Kevin Durant. It's LeBron. And like I said, I love it. I love this picking sides, right? As long as it doesn't touch the record books, I'm great with all the finagling we can do, right? This is what's better than picking sides? You know there's animosity if Luka is passed on until the third round and if LeBron doesn't take him to that, right?
I don't know that they need to be playing a game this year, but okay, they are and fun and it'll be good. In general, NBA should have an all-star game and it's good and the dunk contest is good and it's had its dips and I've certainly been one of those guys like, what are we doing the dunk? Who cares anymore? And then it's bad for several years, but then all of a sudden it's spectacular and then it makes you interested for that. So, and the 3-point shooting and everything else, we must do away with the football one. It's the dumbest thing. Like who cares about that game at this point?
Oh yeah. Well,
they clearly don't want to touch each other. So then what are you making them play for? It's ridiculous.
Well, so the other thing is everyone skips it, right? So if they do it the week before the Super Bowl, anyone on those Super Bowl teams are out. If you do it that week, probably the guys who played in the championship game are out that lost because they want a little break. So now you're getting guys or, you know, fourth tier all-stars who are named. It's not the same in basketball, not quite the same. Devin Booker, that's the big snub that everyone's talking about. He's replacing Anthony Davis right now. So is that guy met? Would you take that? Or do you accept that if you're Devin Booker? I guess you have. It's still nice to be named an all-star, but it's kind of a backhanded compliment. That's one thing.
I agree. I like when people cite it though as a thing, especially in the NFL when they're replacement guys. Like, hey, he was a Pro Bowler last year. Yeah, after 17 other guys turned it down. What value does that have? Who cares?
The other thing I'll say about
you, would say no to answer your question though, because I'm spiteful and childish, and I'd be like, no, you didn't want me when you could have had me, and now you want me to fill in a spot. No,
really,
screw. That's what I would say.
The other thing I'll say is you'll never have more. You know, it's a perfect argument now for the NBA because you're going to have 10 snubs per year easily because the numbers are so out of whack, right? Because everyone scores in the 20s and 25s. You're going to get, all right, so Booker 25-4-4, I'm rounding up. DeRozan 27-5. Ingram 20-5 assists. Trae Young 27 and almost 10 assists. Adebayo 20-10-6. These guys are all putting up insane. I think Fox 22-7-3. All insane numbers that they'd be all stars in the 1990s and the 2000s, the turn of the century, for 10 years with these numbers. And they're going to be on the outside looking in all the time because of the way the game's played. I guess you could say that for baseball too. I don't know. The numbers are always up.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun, the idea of it does make it something fresh to do the way they're going to draft them and everything else. That I guess that makes it worthwhile. But your point is just that everyone has mid-20s points per game who's in the All-Star game at this point.
Yeah, well, that's all I hear is, hey, this one, Devin Booker should make it because he has this much. And then you go right to the numbers. Like, Yeah, I get it. I don't know.
We don't talk enough. Like, we've talked about the fact that on this show that when Odell made that catch, however long ago, the world marveled. And then some guys were like, actually, a lot of us can do that. We just don't try
to
do that.
The Giants lost that game, Spaghetti. Stop smiling. Yeah.
But then, since then, a lot of those guys have proven it right. Like, oh yeah, I guess a lot of guys can do that. They just never thought to do it. A weirder one is the vast majority of our lives were like, no one could ever do what Oscar Robertson did. I mean, averaging a triple double and like, who gets triple double? Magic Johnson had a bunch, but like, that was a long time ago. I mean, now everybody's triple doubling all the time. Your pal Nikola gets from the five.
I don't know
dropping
who that
triple
is,
doubles
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It really is weird that people just like, we've reached this place in the last 3 years where good players triple double all the time, and it was such a rarity just like 10, 15 years ago that you would see somebody do that.
Right. I love
it. It's interesting.
I love it all. We got it going on. We got basketball. Like I said, my kid has Little League baseball and high school football's back in my house. Very exciting times. You can hit us up at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Dave, you have a -3 out. Will you break down this Ben Roethlisberger thing like no one else does? And then you have another one later in the week. Should we announce who your partner is? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a big secret. Go ahead. This was a banner idea 20 years ago. I walked into an office and to write for a cable sports trivia show. And I thought, oh, this is perfect because it's a writing credit for me, but it's a low-level gig. And surely they want this show to be funny-ish, but you have to know about sports to get the gig. I was like, I'm going to easily be the funniest guy, right? I've never did my first job out here. 20 minutes in, I was peeing on myself with fear because I was like, if the people who they hire for this are this funny, I may as well just pack up and leave. Now, it was Sal, it was our pal Josh Gardner, and it was the guy who's going to be sitting with us at our second podcast to get you right every weekend for what's going to go down in sports, our mutual pal, Kevin Hench. It's going to be great on -3. We focus on the Northeast, of course. Eddie Spaghetti has you covered in the tri-state. He's obsessive about all those teams in New York City and otherwise. I care a little about what happens in Pittsburgh, PA, and that state. And now we have Kevin Hench, the diehard Boston sports fan. So if nothing else, it should create a lot of arguing.
I got to say, I think there's going to be legitimate anger. I don't want to oversell this podcast, but it's going to be like none other. Because unless you just sit there and take it, which I don't think, I know you're not going to. I mean, you're going to have to, I don't even know how to build this. But you know what? Listen to it. We'll do video breakouts of it. I'm very excited about -3 with Dave and Kevin.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
I don't know why.
But I will say, legitimately, like Sal, who's obviously a funny guy himself, Hench is funny, but like Sal, knows as much, if not more, than every person that you know. Who you listen to talk about sports, these guys are as plugged in and know what's going on, know the history, know the present as well as anybody otherwise that you're listening to. So yeah. I really do think it'll be good.
But I'm not as much of a pain in the ass about it, right?
No. Okay, no. Who is? Good. Who is? Good.
Well, Kevin Hench.
You think about
it. No, yeah, that's
I'm
it.
Saying,
just
yeah,
him.
That's
right.
It.
Anyway, that's great. You're at Damashek. You got -3 coming up. You did a good one today, breaking down Roethlisberger. Laugh lines tomorrow for me. I'm at the Cousin Sal. We got another Against All Odds coming at you tomorrow night. So that's going to be fun. And just a reminder out there for all of you who may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites. See you next week.